This is Indio Radio. You're listening to That MMA Show.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of That MMA Show here on Indio Radio. I am your host, as always, Jeremy Johnson. And what a great night of mixed martial arts I saw last night at the Fight Hard MMA that went down in St. Peters, Missouri. Also, the week before that, I went out to the XFN via Shamrock FC in St. Louis. And so, you know what? We're going to talk a little regional mixed martial arts today because there really isn't a whole lot going on the big spectrum today. But also this week, you know, last week we had the anniversary of UFC 1 that went down in 1993 on November 12th. And due to that, you know, we thought we really need to do something for the trivia buffs out there, for the ones who remember those times, or the ones who are not really into the, you know, the old school, who need to learn about the roots of the MMA world. So we have Art Jimmerson. That's right. Art One Glove Jimmerson will be joining us today. And he fought Hoist Gracie in the first round that was televised. It was awesome. Came out one boxing glove. Very, very accomplished boxer. Had no idea what he was getting into. And he talks a whole lot about it today. That will be a whole lot of fun. He has some great stories, I'm sure. We are looking forward to that. So we will talk to Art coming up here in just a bit. Also this week, like I said, it's all going to be kind of regional-based. We'll, of course, we'll bring in some of the big UFC and Bellator action that's been going on out there. Also, big new signing with Titan Fighting Championships, which I want to get him on and talk about. And that is Rick Hahn has been signed after being dropped by Bellator. He was immediately picked up by Titan Fighting. That is a huge get for them. I'm really surprised the Bellator dropped him. He's a consummate winner in that organization. He seems to choke sometimes in the big spots, but you know what? It could be something, and it'll be interesting to see how he works out in Titan Fighting Championships. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, and of course, we will break down Bellator 131. Big money was paid to Tito Ortiz, $300,000 for that fight. Man, that is a lot. Also, we will talk about just a whole bunch of stuff today, you know, and I'm ready to get at it because we are going to bring you the best in local, regional, national, and international fighting action. So follow us on Twitter at That MMA Show or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/That MMA Show. So you know what, guys? Let's get into it right now, right here on Indio Radio with That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back because I'm crossing the lane. Just turn it on.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
Back at it here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show, and we are talking about the Extreme Fight Night 1 that went down last Saturday night, and that was at Lumiere Place Casino. This was brought to you by Shamrock Promotions. They debuted their first ever one of these, and it was a cool event that had basically glory-style kickboxing, some MMA fights, and boxing all in one card. Now, this kind of reminds me of the old days of some of the local fights here in the Midwest. They would always do, you know, some K-1 and things like that. But, I mean, this was real honest-to-goodness glory rules. We're talking no headgear, no shin pads for the Ammies. It was a whole heck of a lot of fun. I mean, it was a great event. And not only that, but, I mean, they brought in some real heavy hitters for this. UFC vet Luigi Fioravanti took on Anthony Livingston. That was the co-main event, guys. I mean, for real, this event was awesome. Luigi was able to easily pass Anthony Livingston, basically taking it anywhere and everywhere he wanted it to go. His punch combinations were very, very solid. Good left hook landed, and a bunch of kicks followed with it. Next thing you know, Livingston was rocked. The ref stepped in, stopped the fight. But, I mean, heck of an outing for Anthony Livingston. That kid's going to have a great career in MMA. I've seen him fight quite a bit. And, you know, of course, Luigi Fioravanti, big friend of the show, been on a whole bunch of times, has always been out there and done a whole lot of work. One of my favorite fighters of all time. I mean, he really is. You know, he was back in UFC days and everything, man. He's always been an awesome fighter. So, Doug seeing that. And then the main event went down with Nick Reeder taking on Eric Crittenden at a, it was a boxing match. And this was Reeder's last fight as a pro. heck of a fight, man. I mean, it was a nonstop back and forth, great combinations. Now, being a show that always covers MMA and things like that, you know, but we always got to step back to the roots, which is, you know, I mean, it's boxing, it's wrestling, it's kickboxing, it's things like that. So the most fun, though, on this card was a battle with Bellator and Strikeforce vet Daryl Cobb stepping up against a seriously, seriously tough Joel Blair. And let me tell you guys, this was one of the weirdest ref fights I had seen in forever. It came down to a split decision with two 30-27s, one for each man, and then a 29-28 for the winner, Daryl Cobb. It was a consummate back-and-forth battle of just people getting cracked with leg kicks and punches left and right. Massive, massive elbows were thrown. It was crazy to watch. I was very, very psyched to be there and to witness it all from cage side. Whole lot of fun. So Extreme Fight Night, Lumiere Place, great job to Shamrock Promotions, who also run Shamrock Fighting Championship. So a heck of a fight there. Looking forward to the next one of these. I think it's going to be early part of next year, and we'll definitely bring you more action from it because it was something fierce to watch. So, all right, guys, that is going to do it for this. But you know what? Coming up, we're going to go back to our roots, speaking of, you know, the roots of fighting, of kickboxing and wrestling and boxing and things like that. We are going to go back to the original roots, and this is going to start a series on the show of Know Your Roots. And with this one, we are going to go back, I mean, as far as we can, and that is going to be to Art One Glove Jimmerson, who took on Hoist Gracie in UFC 1. But we're going to do a whole bunch of these where it's going to be, you know, roots of fighting, and we're going to talk to famed boxing coach Moses Flores. We're going to be talking to some serious wrestlers and things like that to, you know, talk about the backgrounds and how they got into the MMA world and how their sport transcribes into MMA. It'll be a whole lot of fun to do. We're going to be doing that over the coming weeks. So, but stick with us, because coming up next, it's Art Jimmerson right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding up, count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back, because I'm crossing the lane. Just turn it on.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
Back at it here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. Now, you know, guys, it went down on November 12th. It was the big anniversary of UFC 1 turning 21 years old. Happened in 1993 at the McNichols Sports Arena in Denver, Colorado. And on that card, we got introduced to, of course, Hoist Gracie, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and all that. But you know what? They had to have opponents back then. And the coolest one that I know of was Art Jimmerson. Everybody got to know him as One Glove because he came out with the boxing glove on. And I have him on the phone with me right now. Art, how you doing?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I am awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes. I'm very happy to be here and very happy to be on your show.
Awesome. Now, Art, for all of those who, you know, I mean, everybody out there, of course, now has seen UFC 1 and all the action that went down, but you were a very accomplished boxer before you even got involved in UFC 1. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in St. Louis. Basically, I went to school, went to college for a little while, and I started boxing at about 14. You know, I thank God, man, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord, that I was able to get through boxing. You know, as a child and grew up, you know, doing it and then making a career out of it. I was very successful and I had fun doing it as I was younger. But, you know, like I said, I got invited to UFC 1, and it was the rest of history.
That is true. Now, so let's talk about that. You know, you said at you're in St. Louis. You hear this 8-man tournament format that's coming up. Winner receives $50,000. How did it come about that they contacted you to get into this big tournament?
Well, you know what? There's a guy named Ernest Hart out of St. Louis. He's a good friend of mine. Ernest, well, he's already about he won a couple of kickboxing tournaments. He's telling me about a tournament that's coming up. You know, remember the game Street Fighters? We didn't all grow up on a great Street Fighter where there was different arts fighting. And this was basically a live Street Fighter. So at the time, I hadn't lost in 3 years. I had won like 15 fights in the world, ranked number 7 in the world. I was leading to the title fight with Tommy Hearn. So basically, when it was offered to me, it was like, you know, a joke. I was like, are you serious? He was like, yeah. So this is no rules, event. I was like, okay, well, let me think about it. So I verbally committed to it. Then once I found out how my burger was, I tried to pull out.
Oh, really? Now, okay, so tell us about that. What made you want to pull out of this?
Well, you know, like I said, I had a family, you know, and I was at the peak of my career. I had lost in 3 years, 15 straight fights, ranked number 7 in the world. And I had, I had a guaranteed big purchase coming up, so I didn't want to jeopardize my career over this thing called, you know, UFC. So Once we, me and my lawyers kind of decided that this, you know, it wouldn't hurt my career because they said, well, we'd be on my boxing record. But also, you know, it was kind of safe. So I'm going to be fighting the smallest guy, quote unquote, in the tournament. We basically couldn't punch, couldn't throw any kind of punches. The guy I'm fighting is basically like a, you know, they're trying to make it seem like it's like a easy fight. So they said, you know, basically we'll go in there and we'll just fight and it'll be over.
I got you. That's awesome. So now, okay, you get there and you see how this is going to go down. Now, I know that even Big John McCarthy has a part about you in his book and talking to how that you talked backstage and, you know, then you realize that there were takedowns involved. What happens whenever, you know, you get paired up with this, you know, the small guy, this Hoist Gracie who's running around wearing pajamas basically, and next thing you know, you're like, all right, I'm going to fight this guy and I'm just going to jab him to death, and what's going to happen? You know, that is that how it kind of came about?
Yeah, well, what really happened was I get there, okay, and like I said, they had offered everybody a certain amount of money. So, with me, like I said, originally I was offered $10,000, okay, to come in, because again, I was already a legitimate fighter, so really I didn't even beat the tournament. And I heard that they already offered people like, you know, Leon Spinks, Bonquist Smith, and even I think John Van Claw, a person that was too much money, so they said, you know, all right, we'll give you $10,000, you know, so once I found out how Burke worked, but I spread it full out. They basically doubled the money. It was $20,000 at the time. Believe it or not, they told me I got there because, you know, it was brand new. Nobody ever heard of UFC before or jiu-jitsu. So we went to the bank and we talked. Me and him, my manager said, you know what? We don't know how big the game will be, but what we'll do, we'll offer you a percentage of the UFC if you want. So I said, huh? I said, we'll give you a percentage of the UFC, offer some cash if you want. And my manager, quote unquote, said, you know what? This thing is too more burn. It won't last for a couple of years. Take the money and run.
Wow.
Yes. So basically, I took his advice. I took the $20,000 instead of having like, you know, 5% difference in the UFC. It would have made me like, what, $5 million a year right now. I said, I take the money because it's too more burn. So, like I said, it was crazy because, like I said, it was just so, I mean, the atmosphere was so thick, you know, seeing Horace and seeing Ken. You know, and our clients, and think about it, everybody was scared of each other, basically. So, you know, everybody had respect for each other, and nobody knew what was going to happen.
Wow, that's awesome. So now it comes to fight day, and I got to ask, and I'm sure you hear this one all the time, why the one glove? Tell us the story.
That's the favorite one. What happened is, like I said, I'm a boxer. And, the thing about, I love boys, I love all the guys that fought a tournament, which that, you know, they'll try to showcase jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So, they told me, you know, I could wear my boxing shoes. I just had to eat it off because, you know, I had to have a grip to throw my punches. And I couldn't kick with the boxing shoes on. They said, they were trying to really get me to wear two gloves, but I said I wear one because I didn't want to hurt my hand. I mean, I had 6 pack coming up. And I don't know, look, if I'm knocking out guys in the gym with 6 pounds of gloves on, what would I do with this guy? I feel sorry for it. I don't want to knock his head off. So I put the one glove on just basically to kind of soften him up. I wanted to just, like, tap with it in and basically get him out there with the one hand. But like I said, once I got out there, it's the whole game plan changed.
Very cool. Now, we are talking to Art One Glove Jimerson. UFC 1 took on Hoist Gracie. So, Art, stick with us because we got to do a whole... I mean, there's just so much more to talk about here. All right, stick with us, guys, because we'll be right back with more Art Jimerson right here on the New Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up. Count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back because I'm crossing the lane. Start it up. Just turn it up.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
And we are back here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show, and we are talking to Art One Glove Jimerson backstage, talking about what it's like to take on Hoist Gracie. Whenever he comes out, and I mean, he basically, you know, throws a little bit, takes you down to the ground, at what point in time does it go through your head like, okay, this is a crazy new sport, and I have no idea what's going to go down?
Well, you know what? One writer put it, it's so funny because I don't read that much things people write about me because, you know, in the beginning, man, it was so pathetic because people were, like, mad at me, like, you know, calling me out saying, you know, because nobody knew what it was. But now it's the point where everybody's saying, oh, right, you're brave, one of the Hoist Gracie, and it's fine. Because at the time, like I said, I was getting so much backlash from me tapping out early. Well, I didn't want to tap out. I said, I didn't know what I was doing. One writer wrote in the LA Times, he said, all right, Jim said, fighting Hoist Gracie at the time we fought. It's like taking a 15-year-old kid getting his driver's license on a 4 or 5 highway in rush hour. And it's the same equivalent, you know. It's like putting a kid in rush hour traffic, getting his driver's license, you know. So I didn't know what was going on. All I remember is I went to the back, and guys were walking back with broken teeth and blood in their face, and broken jaws and eyeballs. So I was kind of still kind of hesitant. So they finally, what really got me was when my manager came back, they're like, tears in his ass, saying, all right, you know what? I'm on the third fight of the night, and it's my turn to fight. He goes, all right, you know, this ain't too barbaric, man. Let's just call out. I can't call out. I said, I'm already agreed to do this thing. So he said, well, look, I'm an attorney. You know, you want to pull out, we just pull out. No, I said, I can't pull out. It's this fight. So I'm trying to rebuild my confidence with Dusty John McCarthy. And John's trying to give me some pointers about, you know, and he's trying to give me some pointers about how to, you know, block certain things. But he can't team at the last minute. I should be doing stuff, you know, months before. But, you know, nobody told me. So I went up with my own. It was just like me going out there as a boxer with one weapon. I had a gun, okay? Horace comes with a gun, a grenade, a bow and arrow. He had already been armed. So it was to the point where, you know, but if I said everybody the same thing, I said, you know what? If I had off the horse, but if you put a horse in a boxing ring under my rules, what would happen, you know?
Sure.
So being in his sport, he had advantage, and I still try to fight him. But like I said, looking back at the fight, I see where I would have just, you know, rushed him and punched him. Punch him. Maybe I could have got a punch in or not, you know? But I waited until I got into the ring, all right? And the faces, like, stand room only, man. The people were, like, going crazy. The first two fights were barbaric. We didn't have to kill each other. So when I came out as a boxer, I'm standing in the corner, and they said, St. Louis, R. Jemison. Only two people clapped, my manager and my trainer, okay? when they pronounced his name, the place erupted. I had all those things, so I almost fell out shaking. The whole place erupted.
That's awesome. So now, okay, so the fight goes down. I tell you what, you are still, I mean, the pioneer of it all right then and there. What happens when you go backstage after your fight's over? You know, is it like, hey, you know what, at least I survived. I'm not like the big, you know, sumo wrestler who's missing some teeth and his nose is on the other side of his face. Everything's all good. What happens when it's all over with?
Well, you know what happened basically? First of all, thank God, thank the Lord Jesus, I got through it. Because, yeah, like I said, it was brand new. Nobody was just like, you know, people fighting on the street. It was just basically, you know, no rules. You know, they made sure they put out no rules. I mean, that time, you do anything, you know, elbows, knees. So, again, I was mad. But what happened is that I felt kind of cheated. I hadn't lost, you know, in so many years. I'm thinking, you know what, I wanted to fight, man. Because, like, you know, these guys walking around here, like, you know, like real fighters. And they had a big masquerade party that night, and everybody was like busted up, and the people came in with teeth missing, black eyes, and I walked in, and I had on my suit, and again, we're all, you know, kind of like mingling with each other, you know. It was a successful night, so basically everybody seemed happy. But my wife said, well, what's wrong? I said, you know, I lost. They were, you know, change of sports. They said, I know, but still, you know, anything, like Michael Jordan, he hates losing in Marvel. So I just hated to lose, you know. And then I remember about 2 months later, I'm over in Japan working out with this guy, title fight. I look at a magazine, the 7-Eleven. The magazine had my picture on it.
Wow.
And I can't read this Japanese, so I asked the guy who's sitting there. I said, look, what does it say? And he said, Art Timmerson, you know, fighting the first UFC. He comes out with no marks on his face, you know, where I had a big smile on my face, and how barbaric it was. I just thought to myself, you know, I wanted to come out, you know, a hero, but at the same time, I didn't get a first shake at it. That's all.
Sure. But that is so flipping cool. I mean, that is awesome. So now let's talk a bit about what happened. You know, you've been through it all now with this, continued on to the boxing career. What are you doing now?
Right now, I'm employed at the UFC gym as a striker trainer.
Oh, awesome.
Because one thing about UFC, striking is so not there. You know, guys that basically, some of the guys kind of got it. You know, some of the guys just, you know, they go out there, it's like they don't know how to spread it off, or the jab, or 1-2, or any of the combinations, you know, of course, the boxing. One thing Cameron Duncan said, one of the co-owners of Art Davey, he said something so awesome. He said, it's not about a boxer beating a guy with jiu-jitsu. It's about taking boxing, using it in jiu-jitsu. That's what it is, basically. The whole key is taking the sport you have, is boxing, wrestling, whatever sport you have, you're taking it, you combine it with other sports. That's what makes you a great fighter. So you're going to take one box and put them out there and you're going to beat nobody because it won't happen.
That is awesome. So now, Art, how can everybody get a hold of you now?
Right now, I'm at artjimmerson.com. I'm also on Twitter. Also, I have half stuff on eBay you can buy. I have a lot of memorabilia you're going to love. But I want to share a story with you right fast. So 10 years after the UFC, okay, 10 years after, I'm a personal trainer like I am now, but I'm in St. Louis. I live in L.A. now, but today I'm in St. Louis. I'm running three gyms, all right? So I'm training lawyer for the man, and me and Holyfield, a lot of people from around still hang out. So Holyfield flies in town, Van Holyfield flies in town. And he's a good friend with my lawyer friend. We all go out to eat downtown St. Louis. And it's been about 10 years since the first UFC. So without even, I didn't know how big UFC was. I tried to run from it high, but being, you know, I was so embarrassed of how I lost. So I'm downtown, we're on top of this restaurant, eating a really class restaurant. Me, Holyfield, and my friend Richard Banks. So while I was out there eating, our ladies, our date. So two guys walk up and go, you know, they go past me, look back, a double tap, and go, all right, one glove, Jimerson. I say, one glove. I feel kind of like, you know, I tried to hack me, and it was like I was Superman, like Clark Kent, Superman, right? So I said, hey. So they look at me, they look over and go, you're paying the real deal, Holyfield. They come back and go, all right, one glove, Jimerson. They go, look, Holyfield, I apologize, you're a champion, you're a legend, but can we get a picture of R. Jimerson? I was like, oh, my goodness. It was like, that's what I knew MMA would be around for a long time.
Hey, I tell you what, I remember we were over at the Shamrock Fighting Championships in St. Louis, and you walked up, and you're like, hey, man, I'm trying to find, you know, Jesse Finney, the president of it. And I'm like, sure, you know, no problem. And I go, he goes, I said, what's your name? You go, Art Jimerson. I go, you mean Art Jimerson One Glove from UFC One?
Yes.
It was the greatest thing ever. So, all right, Art, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. I'm excited. Thank you again. Say, this is the number one show, man, on radio.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
And we are back here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. Now, last night, we ventured to St. Charles, Missouri, which is right outside of St. Louis, for the big Fight Hard MMA Friday night fights. And it was a good time waiting to happen. But it was a weird thing that went down in the main event, which was going to feature Jordan Doughty taking on Brandon Carcher. And it was one of those things that happens a lot in the AMI world that not a lot of people get to see. And this was a big amateur card. I mean, there was, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in the crowd. So it was definitely something to behold. But the main event fell off. And so we talked to Jordan Doughty afterward. He's a great guy looking to turn pro soon. I'm sure he's got some mad skills, guys. So we talked to Jordan Doughty last night, and here's what it's all about. Back at it here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show, and I am talking with Jordan Doughty. Now, Jordan was going to be the main event, and then all of a sudden his opponent falls ill. And so, Jordan, how you doing?
Doing well. Wish I could have competed tonight. Unfortunately, Brandon fell ill, and he looks pretty sick, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out. I really wish we could have competed, but I'd rather fight the best Brandon Carcher than a shell of him, for sure.
So now, for those who haven't seen you or don't follow a whole lot of the regional MMA of the amateur levels, you do some mean, serious work here. So tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started training about 4 years ago. I always wanted to do it. My brother found a gym, and I was kind of teasing him a bit, like he was training out of a garage or something. And I was going through some stuff outside of, as a recent college grad, there's some stress levels there. And so one day I was like, I'm going with you, man. And I've been there ever since. So we do a lot of training with stand-up and jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and we travel a bit. So I've gone and worked with some with Jay D'Amato, and Steve Canova's my head trainer there in Pontoon Beach, and I've got a lot of help from guys like Sal Woods and Aaron Brown, and my brother's put some beatings on me back in the day as well. So I had catching up to do, and it just finally seems like I'm hitting my stride now, and I'm finally healthy. The last year's been pretty productive, and I'm having fun.
So now let's talk about what's been going on here. As an amateur fighter trying to make it up in the world, and you've done some really great fights that, I mean, a lot of work went into it. What is it like for that amateur fighter to be out there still grinding every day, working the day job? You know, talk a bit about what the people who see the pros in the UFC, they don't see what the amateurs do. Talk a bit about that.
Well, it's definitely mental. You really have to want it. You have to be kind of obsessive about it. And people will tell me I'm obsessive about it, and I like things a certain way, and I like to train, you know, with a lot of intensity. And I think to be successful at anything, you have to be a little obsessive at it. And if you're not, then you really aren't into it so much. So, I mean, take me, for instance. I get up at 5:30 in the morning, drive out to work, and then work all day in an office job. And afterward, I go straight to the gym, and I train for about 2, 2.5, 3 hours. Every now and then I'll cover a class and teach something to, you know, people that are newer. And then I'll go home, make my food, and I might have half an hour to sit down at night to get up and do that all over again because I have to prep my food for the next day. It can be an intense grind. You really got to be dedicated to it, and it takes you wanting it.
So then for those out there who don't see it, talk about what it's like to – you're here. You're for the main event. This is for a regional title. and your opponent backs out, what are you feeling?
I'm a little disappointed. I worked real hard for this. This is the best I ever did for camp and my shape. I'm just in such good shape right now. It's the best shape I've ever been in. I was ready for 4-minute rounds. I was training at different gyms, adding things, and I just felt like lately I've hit another level. So I was excited to try and get an opportunity to show that, and especially with all the room I had in there to work some stand-up. And, you know, I'm pretty disappointed, and it's not like it was anything intentional, so I have to let that go by. But I've had, anybody that's had AMI fights knows how this goes. Sometimes stuff just doesn't work out, and, you know, I cut a lot of weight. I cut probably about 20-something pounds for this, and then it just didn't work out. And even this was a catch weight, so I would have cut more to 70, but this was a short-notice fight. And just going home and making my food every night for the entire next day, then eating that and all the water, and it's a very strict regimen. And for nothing to come of it again, and this is like the third time it's happened this year on, you know, the diet since I've moved down a weight class. It's a little disheartening. But I'm ready at least to take tonight and try and put it aside, and at least it was intended to be a celebration tonight. I still want to hang with my friends that, you know, helped me put this camp in, some of my family in town, and I just want to, you know, I've had a good year, so I might as well take this night and at least celebrate what's happened up to this year and, you know, just how far I've grown with it.
So now, what happens next for Jordan Dowdy?
The next one, I was hearing rumors of a Rumble Time show in January. I don't know if it was confirmed or not. I've been pretty vocal about where I want to go next. I want to take a level up step. I really don't want to fight many more AMI fights. I don't like doing this for free, and there's fights at the pro level that are winnable. I mean, I go to pro shows and I watch them, and I'm just like, really? That guy's a pro fighting that guy? And I see some setups, and I don't want no setups, but I see people getting credit for these victories, and it's when I'm sitting there training this hard and I see that, and I'm just like, that's not a quality opponent. And you know, just get off my little soapbox here, but I'm ready to test myself at the next level, but so far there really hasn't been anybody to kind of push me there, and they might not be there at the AMI level anymore, I don't know, but at the same time, there's too much sacrifice in this to keep doing it for free.
So then with that, now, for everybody out there who's listening to the show right now, and they want to go see one of the next big up-and-comers that's going to come out of St. Louis, how can they find you on social media?
I need to create a Facebook fan page, so I'm going to go ahead and create one, and I'll just call it Jordan Dowdy. I'm getting a lot of friend requests now on Facebook, and the thing is, like, I want to kind of keep that to myself, but I still want to interact with people. I have an Instagram, Jordan.Dowdy, and then Twitter is @JordanDowdy. I can keep those open to the public. I'm going to make a fan page. I'll go ahead and do that. It's easier to socialize that way and converse with them. So,
all right, guys, so go check him out on Twitter. That's awesome. So, Jordan, thank you so much for taking time to stop after this tonight. I know it's a kind of a disappointment, but you know, you put in a lot of work and we all know it, and it's pretty cool to be there. So
yep, there ain't nothing to do but work toward the next one. You know, you don't want to quit, so on to the next one.
Big thanks to Jordan Dowdy for that. You know, guys, that's what it's like to be an amateur MMA fighter, man. This kind of stuff happens all the time. So if you've never really followed AMI MMA, it's an interesting thing that you need to find out about. And go check them out sometime. Anywhere local in your area, go check out an amateur MMA fight. Those guys are putting it out for everybody. All right, stick with us, because coming up, we are going to have our favorite segments. The week that was, our Twitter shout-outs, and, of course, our calendar of events. All next, right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back, cause I'm crossing the lane. Just turn it on. Get ready.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
Back at it here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. We do our favorite segments here every week, and that is the week that was, our Twitter shoutouts, and of course our calendar of events. But I am maybe changing up a little bit this week, and I'm going to do an Instagram shout-out, so I'm just warning you now. It'll come up here in just a little bit. But we always do these segments because this is what everybody wants to see, and they tell us all the time on Twitter, @ThatMMAShow, or on Facebook, facebook.com/ThatMMAShow. So, all right, we're going to start off the week that was right now. And we are starting with Invicta Fighting Championships on Thursday announced that Vanessa Porto has been removed from her fight with Roxanne Modafferi at Invicta FC 10. You know why? Because she's got visa issues. Now, this happens a whole lot in this game with people coming in from other countries. It seems especially Brazil, though. So now, but Modafferi is not going to go without an opponent because they quickly snapped up National Gold Gloves champion Andrea Lee. This is going to be awesome. She goes by the nickname KGB, and she is mean. She has had two bouts in her MMA career, and she's going to take on Mata Ferry, who is 16-11 and is one of the most seasoned veterans there is in this sport. So this is going to be awesome. I am so looking forward to this one. You know me. I love Invicta. I am a huge proponent of women's MMA, and I am a huge Roxanne Mata Ferry fan, and I'm also swiftly becoming a huge Andrea Lee fan. So this is a win-win for the fans, and we'll see Vanessa Porto soon, I am quite sure. So, all right, next up, Vitor Belfort passed his drug test on November 1st ahead of UFC 184. He has cleared the first hurdle, guys, which is good. So, but there is likely to be a whole bunch more of these heading into the Chattel Challenge against Chris Weidman, so... Basically, the Nevada State Athletic Commission popped in and goes, "Hey, Vitor, it's time to take a drug test." And he did, and he passed. So great job to him. That is awesome. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about Tito Ortiz and Bellator 131. Now, first off, Tito made a boatload of money, $300,000 alone in salary for this fight. That is just that. Does not include any sponsorship money, anything of that nature. And it's... Gotta love it for Tito. I mean, he is in the twilight of his career and still making fat cash bank against his fight against Stefan Bonner. Now, he was fined a whopping $2,500 for flipping Stefan Bonner off, though. So, wow, you know, I'm thinking that hurt him a lot. But it will be it'll be interesting to see what happens next with Tito, what they're going to do with him in, as far as the Bellator organizations go. You know, they made this card very, very WWE-esque. And, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is what it is, and that's what happened. So, next up for Tito, we don't know, but you know what? Congratulations on making all kinds of bank and only getting fined a little bit for flipping off Stefan Bonner there. So, gotta love that. All right, guys, that is going to do it for our week that was. And next, we are going to bring you our Twitter shout-outs, which, of course, like I said, I am changing that up to an Instagram shout-out. And that goes out to my Instagram buddies, Mac Supplies. You can check them out at Mac Supplies. They supplied me with a bunch of shin guards that I needed. Well, not a bunch. I mean, they sent me a pair of shin guards. I needed them. I tore mine up, and they were very, very happy to jump out and help me out. So you can check them out at Mac Supplies on Instagram and also on their website, www.maxmartialarts.com. Tell them you learned it on That MMA Show, and they'll be happy all about that. So, all right, that is going to do it for our Twitter / Instagram shout-outs. We got to just change it out to the social media shout-out, but that doesn't sound nearly as cool, does it? So, and that is going to bring us to our calendar of events where we are starting off November 22nd, UFC Fight Night 57, and that is going to go down tonight, guys. That's right. In Austin, Texas. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Can't wait to talk about it next week. It will be a good time, but I'm not even going to spoil it for anybody. I am looking forward to this fight, though. There is a whole lot of action that's going to go down on this card. We are talking about Cub Swanson taking on Frankie Edgar. It will be good stuff. Bobby Green versus Edson Barboza as the co-main. Brad Pickett taking on Chico Camus. And then a whole lot of other people. And, you know, the cool one I'm looking at this is going to be Joseph Benavidez versus Dustin Ortiz. Preliminary card goes down on Fox Sports 1. That will feature Eves Edwards, James Vick, Luke Barnett, and then the preliminary on Fight Pass. Now, here's the fun one, guys. It is going to be Paige VanZant taking on Kaylin Curran. Now, if you have not seen Paige VanZant before, she is absolutely amazing in the fight ring. She is a young girl. She was actually originally supposed to be on the Ultimate Fighter season 20, but she unfortunately was not old enough to make it into the house. So they brought her in specifically. Now, I mean, I will tell you, she has model good looks and hands to beat almost anyone. I mean, her only loss on her record is actually to Tisha Torres. That was at Invicta. And I mean, it was a back and forth kickboxing battle. She used some judo. I mean, she did some great things. So Paige VanZant, I am really looking forward to seeing that one. It will go down on UFC Fight Pass tonight. So next month, we have UFC 181, Hendricks taking on Lawler, and that will be December 6th in Las Vegas. Too much fun there. And then the Ultimate Fighter 20 finale, December 12th in Vegas. Wow, guys, then we get to find out, you know, who the champ's going to be. And I'm leaning towards it's going to be Tisha. I'm leaning that way. We'll all see coming up soon. It could be Carla Esparza versus Joanna Calderwood, though. I mean, if you look at it, it can go either way. So lots and lots of fun. I definitely think Joanna Calderwood will be in the finals, though. That's just my opinion and my guess. So, all right, guys, that is going to do it for our calendar of events. So remember, follow us on Twitter. More to come. We're going to tell you what's coming up next week right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count one, two, three. You better watch your back, cause I'm crossing the lane. It's just turn it on. Get ready.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
And we are back here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. Man, it has been a fun show today. Thank you so much to Art One Glove Jimerson. If you don't know where you're from, guys, you need to go back and watch UFC 1. That is where No Holds Barred morphed into mixed martial arts, man. And he was right there in it. We really thank him for joining us today. So that was a whole lot of fun. Now, guys, next week, as I said earlier, we are starting a segment on kind of the roots of mixed martial arts. And so next week, I think we're going to talk a little boxing, and that will be a lot of fun. Also next week, we are going to be talking to Dr. Jacob Shearer, who's going to be coming onto the website as a contributor to talk about UFC injuries, MMA-related things in chiropractic care, in medical care in general. He will be helping us out with a whole lot of articles, and we'll have him on next week to introduce himself and talk about all things. So if you want to ask the doctor a question, just hit us up on Twitter with hashtag Ask the Doctor, and we will make it happen for you. We're looking forward to having Dr. Jacob come on and be a regular contributor here now. It'll be a whole lot of fun. He does great work. He actually is my chiropractor, has helped me through a whole lot of injuries. Worked with all kinds of athletes from international level MMA competitors to, you know, the rising Ammies and everything in between. So good stuff there. Looking forward to it. You know, we'll, of course, continue to always bring you the best in local, regional, national, and international fighting action. We will break down UFC Fight Night is going to go down tonight on Fox Sports 1. We'll talk all about it. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing Paige VanZant jump out there into the crowd and make some noise in that division because she is mean, guys. Great hands, great skills. Will be fun to see. So, all right, guys, you know what? It's getting up to be that time again. Big thanks to everyone who was on today. Big thanks to Fight Hard MMA for having us out. Big thanks to Extreme Fight Night and Shamrock Promotions for having us last week to their big XFN1. And also, big thanks to Random Marcos, who was on the show with us last week. She took out Felice Herrig on this episode of The Ultimate Fighter. And if you want to hear all about it, go over to twoguystalkingmma.com. As every week, my co-host and I, Mike Wilkerson, we break down everything involved in The Ultimate Fighter Season 20 episode. It is an hour-long talk on the entire thing, and we get in-depth, guys. So if you could go check it out, twoguystalking.com. It's awesome. So, all right, folks, that's going to do it for another fun-filled week here at That MMA Show. So, as always, follow us on Twitter, at That MMA Show, on Instagram, Vine, and all of those in between. But until next week, remember, fight clean, fight hard, fight fair, and we'll see you next week right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count one, two, three. You better watch your back, because I'm crossing the lane. You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.